Welcome to another special edition of the Westlife podcast. I hope everyone is enjoying their off-season. We had a great chat with John Skandalis last week, so I thought I would keep Rob and Shane from MG Pump Solutions on ice this week and wait for some more news, any signing news. We've heard a rumour going around about Ash Taylor and that sort of thing, so we'll wait for a bit more West Tigers news before we get the boys back on the mics, because there's not much else to talk about. So being grand final week, I thought I'd bring back a chat that we had in our early days with none other, one of my childhood heroes, Gary Jimmy Jack. Now, we talk about, obviously, the 1988 grand final and the 1989 grand final, which I was too young to remember. I was born in 88, so I was excited to get a player's perspective. I've never actually spoken to one of the players about the grand final before, so it's a great chat with Jimmy. We had it 2.5 years ago, so this was April 2019, so obviously pre-COVID, if anyone can remember life before that. But yeah, it's still a very enjoyable chat about talking about the old days with none other than Gary Jimmy Jack. So enjoy this special episode, as always, sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. And if you want to support MG Pump Solutions, check out westlife.com, and we've got a link to Shane's business there. Like I said, we'll be back with the boys soon. Enjoy the chat with Gary Jimmy Jack. Well, I guess first question, what are you up to these days? What's Gary Jack doing with himself in 2019?
Yeah, Josh, for the last couple of years, I've worked for the TAB.
Yep.
I've for the last 6 months, they've moved me to an area where I look after the digital acquisitions, which means when you go into a hotel and club and you're on your mobile phone, I work for the TAB and we help sign people up on the TAB app.
Yeah, nice.
That's what I'm responsible for. I've got a lot of people that go around to hotels and clubs and pubs and younger students and that sort of stuff, and I'm sort of involved in the training of those people, and it's going very well, and there's a lot of, you know, obviously to be a big maker, big playmaker in sports betting in Australia with a big history, so
yep.
It works well. That they love their sport, they love their rugby league, and it's great to be involved.
Yeah, it sounds like a good fun job to get out there amongst the people and talk sport and talk a bit of punning.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, mate. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Might get you a job one day if you need a bit of extra money.
Yeah, I do work in that the digital space, so I'll have to speak to you off air and see if I can get poached by the TAB. You kind of touched on it before, but what's your thoughts on the Tigers squad this year? Do you think they're better than a lot of people? Some were even saying wooden spoon this year, but we've got off to a good start. Do you think they're better than people think?
Yeah, look, I think with what happened last year with Ivan Cleary, obviously disappointed to lose him. But when I found out that we're getting Maguire to come over as coaching, I thought that was a better deal for the club. I think Maguire's a experienced premiership coach, and I think that's we've come out on the better end of the ledger.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a big plus, and I know he's a hard worker, and I know mates that were South Sydney fans, they said he's really strict on training and defensive patterns, and you can see that's already coming through in the style of footy that the Tigers are playing.
Definitely.
Insofar as their defence has improved, but the fact that they're scoring points now, which we alluded to earlier, with Brooks and Benji there and Robbie Farris playing well, they've got that creativity, which they didn't have the last couple of years, just had to score, probably 12 points, maybe maximum or 14, but they're to win so convincing on the weekend by 34 points, just showed how much they've improved on scoring points. So
yeah.
I think that they'll get better, and they've got a good squad. I think he's got a great brain for picking out talent, and I think he will develop these players like Luke Brooks. I think he's potentially got to be not too far away from a State of Origin call, and other young players as well.
Yeah, Brooks's his defence, I think, improved out of sight too. Just watching him, live, he's throwing himself in the tackles and making tackles now, which he was a little bit of a weakness for him in years past. And he's bulked up a bit. He looks big and strong now. He runs the ball hard, which is good.
Yep. That's right. I agree, Matt. So I think it's a good start to the year. Obviously, I think was it last year we won our first four games or five games in a row, and it was a great, then we just fell away after that. So can't get carried away too early, the early crow, but I think it's, I think the signs are there that we'll build on the last couple of years that Ivan Cleary, all the stuff he put in place, and we'll be even more successful.
Yeah, well, it was four out of the first five, but it should have been five because of that penalty at Campbelltown, that the corresponding penalty game last year with the same referee that we had against the Warriors, funny enough.
Yeah. Really, there you go. Eh? Yeah. And they kick the goal from halfway. I remember that one.
That's the one, yeah. So luckily the history didn't repeat itself there.
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't a factor. That's right.
So you, talking about yourself, so you grew up down Wollongong way. How did that lead into you playing for the Magpies?
I played for West Illawarra, which is the Red Devils down there, from like under sevens all the way through to the first grade. My father played down there, my grandfather played down there in Wollongong, so I'm sort of from a football family.
Yeah.
I was a year ahead of, Blocker was a year behind me. I was like eight, he was under sevens all the way through, so we only played together under 17s. We played together. Went to the same high school, me and Blocker went to the same high school, and he went to Balmain as a junior to get away from the 13 import rule when he was at 16 or 17.
Okay.
I stayed there and came through. Paul Sate was my coach at first grade, who played for Australia and South Sydney back in the 60s and 70s, and we won the comp in 1980. I had every intentions of staying there in Illawarra for the following year because I really wanted to try and play for country. That was my goal.
Okay.
And Juki Taylor, who owned the Unidera Hotel across the road from West Leagues Club, we'd go there for a drink after we played touch footy midweek on a Wednesday. He said he could get me a trial, or just to get fit, really, with the West Magpies. And he said, oh, that'd be fantastic. Get a bit extra training in for a couple of months. So myself, I drove up there every second day, with another guy from Wollongong, and trained hard. There was Gary Dowling was there, Johnny Rebo, DeBrasic, Terry Lamb, Alan Neal, all those guys. We all trained with the first grade squad, and I was just one of the young fellas coming through. I think I was 19 at that time. John Donnelly was there too. He was a character of Dallas.
Yeah,
and it was a great era for Wesson. Played the trials, and then Roy Masters pulled me aside and wanted to offer me a contract with my father. My dad was with me, and I said, oh, look, I didn't want to come to Sydney. I wanted to stay in Wollongong.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I think, it's a great opportunity for you to come up, and, I think you're probably going to end up as a 5'8", not as a fullback. That was what his advice to me was. that was good advice from Roy. Yeah. They offered me, a little bit of money. It wasn't a great deal of money really at that stage, but it was $5,000, which wasn't a great deal of money back in 1980. But it was, I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a go. So I lived in Wollongong, and I travelled up for the next 6 or 7 months, three times a week, and playing up a weekend. And I loved it. They offered me the contract, and I took it, and the rest is history.
Yeah. And then, of course, you went from West across to Balmain. So how did that bridge happen?
In that year, West wanted to keep me. I played the last three out of five games in first grade I've had a good end of the year. And Steelers were coming in. Illawarra Steelers were coming in. Canberra was coming in. Eastern Suburbs also offered me a contract, as well as Canberra and Wollongong. And West wanted me to stay. So there's about four clubs that were interested and Balmain. But with Balmain, I suppose the big factor was that Keith Barnes came to my house when I was living in Sydney, and he was good mates with a guy called Noel Yeomans, who was the recruitment officer back in those days. And his son was one of my best mates. They knocked at my door one day and wanted to have a chat. And we had a chat for probably 3 hours. And it was certainly each told me that they wanted a fullback for their future. Even though they'd finished last in 81, they were looking to build a team. They had Wayne Pearce coming through. They had a guy called Benny Elias coming through. Obviously, Steve Roach was coming into first grade, or into grade as well. So I knew Roachie from Wollongong. And they said, we want to build a team. We'd like you to be the fullback, So that's how it all started. And I did agree. I said to Keith, I need a couple of weeks to think about it. I wouldn't make a decision at the time. And then I called him back and said, yeah, I'd like to join the club. And I did.
And the rest is history. Well,
I
was only born in 1988, so I missed that kind of great era. Yeah. But looking back and looking at footage, and on paper, the side in the mid to late 80s at Balmain was like a who's who of stars. I mean, a lot of you were young guys coming through, I guess, at the time. But when was it that you guys as a squad kind of thought, oh, we have something quite special building here?
Yep. It was probably, well, 81, they won the Wooden Spoon. In 82, there was Benny Locker, myself, joined the club. They had Gary Bridge there as well. And then 83, we actually made the semis. I think we finished fifth in 83. So from last to fifth is a pretty good jump in only 2 years. And then in 84, myself, Wayne Pearce, Blocker, Benny, all got picked for City. Myself and Wayne went on to play New South Wales and Australia. So that was a good stepping stone. And then in 85, we all made, when I say all, there was Wayne, Steve, Benny, myself, all made the New Zealand tour, the Australian tour in 85. And then the Kangaroo tour in 86. All of a sudden we started getting, you know, there's three or four of us in the Australian side with Paul Sirenin coming through, and just that experience you build up from playing together in that era. There was four Panasonic Cups that we made. We won it twice, and we finished up twice, runners up twice. So we just got that feel. I really think 85, 86 were really coming together, and we made the final in 85 and lost to Canterbury in extra time. And you know, we were a great young side, just probably didn't have maybe just a playmaking halfback or just to guide us around the park. There was Wayne Pearce, you know, Russell Gartner was there as well, experience from Manly. Our pack, we had a really good pack. We just needed that guiding halfback, which we sort of let us down a little bit. But geez, we had a good squad, and 85, 86, we were always, I think we made the semis for about 5 or 6 years in a row. So it sort of built from 83, 84.
Yep.
And then obviously it culminated in 88 and 89, Josh, with those two grand finals.
Yeah, that was my next question. I'm sure you've been asked, well, you probably had asked every October, I assume, every late September. Mm. Have you watched either of those games again since? I know Wayne Pearce says that he hasn't. Wayne Pearce says he's never actually watched 89 we did, again.
Yeah, well, we did actually sit together once at Fox Studios in 2005. We were all guests there, and we sat in a nice big booth there and watched the game. And I'd never seen the game from 89 until 2005. So my recollection of it, I didn't realise what a great game it was. Yeah. And I was just so disappointed that,
as long
that
as
we lost.
As a Tigers fan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I was just disappointed. And I thought, wow, when I saw it, I said, geez, that was a fantastic game. All up to the last 1 minute, 39 seconds, it was a fantastic game. So I've only seen, you know, just some highlights, but that's the only time I've ever sat down and watched it. And obviously 88 was disappointing too, but 88 was, we had a great chance there, but you know, Canterbury took out Ellery Hanley, and he was our strike player, and he was the X factor that got us through the grand final, because you know, I'm sure it would have been different if he stayed on the field, but I think that targeted him and Benny, and that sort of we sort of dropped away in that second half, and the game slipped away from us. But you know, it was a big game, and you got to be ready for those sort of situations. Their grand finals, they'd played in a few grand finals and won a few and lost a couple, so they were sort of battle hardened and got the jump on us. But you know, 89 were ready, and 89 is the year that we really should have won.
Hope you're enjoying the chat with Jimmy Jack. Just wanted to take some time in this episode to welcome our new Patreon subscriber. Now, if you want to support the show, check out patreon.com/Westlife, and there's a link on westlife.com if you can't find that either. Now, we have a tier on there that we have a new member. So it is called the Andrew Voss tier. And what you get for that is a 30-second ad read for your company. So pretty much a shout out for your company. And welcome to Dane Pimble. He signed up with us this week. A big West Tigers fan himself, a long-time fan of the show, and he's come on board to promote his business called Cownan. They specialize in helping working professionals design strategies for building an investment portfolio to fund their desired lifestyle. I know Shane, our sponsor from MG Pump Solutions, was very keen to get in contact with Dane himself. So if you want to get in touch with Dane, check out cownanflack.com. Cownan is spelled C-A-L-N-A-N and then Flack, F-L-A-C-K.com. Or you can email him directly for a free consultation, dane.pimble@cownanflack.com. They said they will manage and grow your wealth much better than the West Tigers have managed their cap. I love that little exit on your speech there, Dane. And yeah, thanks for supporting the show. Now back to our chat with Jimmy Jack.
On the Hanley incident in 88, it's weird. Like these days, we've got camera angles going everywhere. I've never actually really seen the footage of what actually happened. Where obviously you were at fullback, so you might have been a bit far. Did you see what happened in that game?
It was from a scrum situation. Ellery got past the ball, and Terry Lambs come in and held him up in the tackle, and then Andrew Farris came over the top and cleaned him up with his elbow. And
So it was Farrah, not Lamb. And I was always told it was Lamb that did the
You're right there. It was the other way around. They were both involved in the tackle, but you know, Lamb copped most of the brunt of it. Yeah. So hitting him, even though he denied it, and it was unfortunate. And you know, he went off, took him off, and he was really concussed because he did come back on just before half time. He came back on for about 30 seconds. And at half time, he was just, I've never seen a bloke so much in gaga land. He really didn't know what was going on. And you really couldn't send him back out there. So that was a major, major loss. He was probably the best Englishman I've ever played with or I've seen come out of England. And he was just a freak what he could do, scoring tries. And even though he played lock, I think we played him centre that year, but he could play anywhere, Ellery, and score tries. And unbelievable. I didn't realise how good a player he was until I played alongside him.
He was definitely... I'm glad enough I got to see him and you play in your second stints at the Tigers when I was old enough to watch it. But you mentioned England there. Right. What was your experience overseas playing like?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I was there for 3 years, mate. I went to Sheffield Eagles in 1992-93 with Bruce Maguire. We left Balmain together and we had a great time over there. They were just a young team and they really, we made the final of the Yorkshire Cup, which was a pretty good effort, even though we lost. They were just a sort of a bottom part of the ladder, but we sort of, out of probably 16 teams or 14 teams, we finished about 10th, so that wasn't too bad an effort. And then I went over the following year. I got approached by Salford to come to them as a player for a year, and then we'll be player coach and then coach the final year. So I took up that, and that was a lot of fun too. You know, I'd loved being full time professional and enjoyed my time as coach at Salford. And it was just another a step. My goal was to try and get back here to be a coach here in Australia, but. But it was certainly a great stepping stone. And, you know, my son was born over there and my youngest boys went to school over there, primary school over there. And we have lots of good memories of up in Sheffield and the north of England.
Yeah, good experience for the boys too then.
Oh, there was Pommy within 6 months. I was speaking fluent Yorkshire, to school, kindergarten. And, took them a couple of years to lose their accent. But
no, wow, okay.
It was great.
And then picked up an Aussie rules ball, or in one case. Anyway.
Actually, two of them did that when they didn't do that originally. They came back and played league. They all played league till they were probably 12 or 13. That was a good grounding for them. And Brandon and Kieran played Aussie rules, and Reece, that's my middle one. He stuck with the rugby league and he played right through to Canterbury and Balmain, New South Wales Cup level.
And obviously you came back to Australia. I still remember. I think I was about 6 or 7, and I still remember the moment. I have to say this story. I hope my dad's listening. So I was in the car with my dad, driving home up the Central Coast, and he turned to me and he said, he goes, "Jimmy Jack's coming back to the Tigers." And I was so young that I didn't remember. I'm like, oh, awesome. But I didn't really grasp it, because obviously I was too young to remember the early stage of your career. But I still remember the moment my dad told me, and the excitement for him that you were coming home. And of course, Ellery came as well. So it was awesome that I got to see your second stint, I guess, at the Tigers. So I guess what led to you coming back?
Well, what led to coming back? I came back around. I played over there, and then I went to be player coach. So I'd actually retired for like 12 months, a bit over 12 months. And well, then it didn't work out. It didn't work out at Salford, you know. It didn't work out. So I sort of finished around March, I suppose. March. I said, I'm still. I feel really good. Like, I'm only 34 at that stage. Just turned 34, and I still felt that I could still contribute.
Yeah.
And so I trained pretty hard for 6 weeks, spoke to the club, and I said, well, yeah, we'd like to have a talk to you when you come back. So when I got back in Australia, luckily the club and Wayne Pearce gave me an opportunity to come back and play. And I think I played 11 games or 12, 11, I think it was 11 games I played to the end of the year. And I like to think I helped them a bit to steady the ship, and, you know, still had a little bit of spark in me from, even though I'd been retired for almost, certainly 18 months, I'd been retired and 3 years away from Australia.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. I really enjoyed every moment playing back with Ciro, and, you know, back in the Tigers colours, you know, I got a second chance, you know.
Mm.
Sometimes you don't get a second chance, but I did, and I just loved every moment. I scored a 40 or 50 metre try against Parramatta in my second last game. That was probably one of the highlights of my career, and it was probably the last try I ever scored for the club. But it was a good one.
Yeah. What was the reception like from fans when you came back? I assume it would have been a whole new generation by then of fans, myself included.
It was a great reception. You know, I was very fortunate. Balmain fans, they gave me a great reception in '92 when I left, and that was the same day as David Brooks and Steve Roach, we retired at the same Leichhardt Oval, and it was a rousing. There's probably 20,000 people there that day, and it was just very emotional. And I played there for 11 years. I was at the Tigers, so it was great. And then I got a chance to come back in '95 and do it again. So that was I just loved. I loved all my time at Balmain, mate. I just loved the club and loved you know, the place of the joint, and I just loved being part of it, and made plenty of great mates and plenty of great memories left from that era.
Yeah. Well, speaking of those mates, I mean, there's so many names that you've named who played the majority of their career for the Tigers, if not all their career. Do you think it's a little bit of a shame that we don't get that? Chrissy Lawrence is getting towards him, and even Benji and Farrow had time outside the club. But do you think it's a little bit of a shame? Obviously, it's a different era, but do you think it's a little bit of a shame?
I think players, fans really relate to players and they connect. Like, I get so many people say, they feel like they know you, and you know, that they most days people say something to you or whatever about footy, about the 89 grand final and that sort of stuff. So it's quite flattering that they know you. And it's because if they're Tigers fans and you were there, you spent your whole career there, then there's that strong loyalty. Oh, I could have gone elsewhere. We all could have gone elsewhere, but we stuck together.
Yep.
And, you know, I suppose we're lucky we had a guy called Keith Barnes who was the CEO, and he was big on loyalty, and he looked after all of us. You know, obviously we could have got more money going to Manly or other clubs, but we together... He was very fair, and obviously too, there was no salary cap back in those areas as well. I sort of come in late 80s, early 90s, but for the bulk of our career. So that you know, being a one, well, I consider myself a one team player, even though I did play 1 year at West. I do consider myself a Balmain player, and it's it's great. And obviously, look, and I'm excited too, mate, about that. Obviously, when the club's going to start too, they're going to build a new club there at the old spot, and it'll be great for all Tigers fans to get back to the club. And it's some great memories. But yeah, probably because of that, you know, that Tiger loyalty, and you know, we stuck together for 10 years.
Like you said, yeah, West Ashfield, it's very kind of them, yeah, to help, lend their hand to get the old Leagues Club back on its feet. I remember going there as a kid. It's a shame it closed down before I turned 18, so I wasn't old enough to have a schooner after the game, but I definitely have good memories there going to the game and just seeing all the players and, talking to guys like yourself and Junior and all that.
We need a home to go to, all the Tigers, but we need a home to go back to, and you know that's not too far away after what's happened the last week or so. So that's great news. You know, it's been too long without us having a den to go back to, so it's looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be Campbelltown is good like that too. It's so good having a Leagues Club next to the field. It just makes that rugby league crowds are struggling at the moment, and it's just, I think, that day out kind of is missing a little bit with football now. I mean, like, you go to the football and then you go to the Leagues Club and you see the players afterward. The Tigers do their best to do that, but when there's no Leagues Club near Leichhardt and they're playing out of Parramatta where it's not their club, I guess it's a bit hard. And I think that was the appeal of, I grew up on the Central Coast and we'd drive all the way down from the Central Coast just to go to games because you'd have that experience. So I guess maybe that's a little bit lost, and that's why crowds are a little bit down at the moment.
That's right. I agree, mate. I think there's a few things that need to be sort of fixed up, and that's one of them.
Yeah,
which will certainly help the game.
Yeah, the TV money seems to dominate a little bit too much these days. Gary, it's been an absolute honour to talk to you. Like I said, growing up as a kid, your name was probably talked about in my families more than my own name was growing up, guys like yourself. So, I even had a goldfish named after you. My first pet was a goldfish named Jimmy. Yep, that's, again, I hope my dad's listening to this because he would have had a hand. Yeah, my late mother as well would have had a hand in that. Yeah, Jimmy the goldfish was my first ever pet. So it's been an absolute honour to speak to you. Thank you very much, mate, for being on West Life Podcast.
It's my pleasure, mate. It's great to, you're doing a great job there, and it's great that you're promoting the game and promoting the history of Balmain, and you know, you're doing a fantastic job, and it's great to be part of the history of Balmain. It's been 30 years since the 89 grand final, you know, so that's a long time. 30 years.
I turned 31 this week.
So 31 years is a long time. So, and you know, still probably the greatest grand final ever. I'm probably biased when I say that. And
everyone says that.
And if you're a Tigers fan, that memory will stay with you where you were that day when we lost that grand final at the end. You know, I had people say to me, I had this young fella say to me up the coast, he came for a photo when he was a rodeo rider. He was 35, I suppose, as he was. He said, "Gary, just went to Balmain." I said, "Where?" He goes, yeah. I remember I was on the bus with my mum going home, listening to the radio, and then my mum told me, then we heard that Canberra scored the try, and they won, they were ahead of the game, and then we'd lost the game, the moment that we'd lost the game, and I started crying on the bus. I said, "Did you?" He goes, "Yeah, I started crying on the bus," and I said to my mum, "Don't worry, mum, maybe they'll win it when we get home on the telly."
Yeah, I was 18 months old at the time. My parents tell me, my mum and my dad are both, because both my grandfather, my late grandfather and my dad's dad both grew up in Balmain, so both sides of my family are locals and big Tigers fans, and they were sitting together, and my mum always told me, they popped champagne at halftime, because back in those days, that sort of lead was insurmountable. So
just statistically, it was the biggest lead ever at halftime in a grand final, which had never been run down.
Yeah, whereas growing up
at that stage,
growing up watching the modern game, you look at the scoreline and you think today, like they can change in 5 minutes now. The game's so fast, yeah. With you.
It's definitely
every time I see my grandfather's, yeah, that game comes up very, very often. But
anyway. It was the best and the worst day of my life.
Yeah, I used to hire out the video when I was younger and watch it. Yeah. And kind of hope that Benny's field goal went over. But,
Well, the turning point there was the fact that Warren took off Blocker and Ciro. And probably the worst decision ever was that refereeing decision by Bill Harrigan to penalise Bruce Maguire for using Steve Walters as a shepherd. That's probably the worst refereeing decision I've seen in 50 years.
Well, I heard on Triple M late last year, he absolutely admitted on Triple M that it wasn't a penalty, and he said some reason that he blew it, but he says, yeah, looking back, it wasn't really a penalty. So it's not that that helps now, but
it's no good now, Bill. Counts for nothing.
Yeah,
you know, at that stage, I think it was a 6-8-2 penalty count for the whole game, 8-2 against us, and that was, I think it was 6-1 at that stage when instead of us putting the ball out and attacking their line, they put it out, and then and Canberra scored. That set a 6 to get back in the game to make it 14-8. They made it then, so that put them back in the game.
Yeah,
you know, that penalty. So it's just a monumental stuff up by Harrigan, and you know, it's too late now to apologise.
He didn't apologise. He just said, no, it probably shouldn't have been a penalty. There was no sorry.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of Tigers fans that were probably about to run off the road when he said that, he didn't apologise.
Yeah. He can't. It's indefensible. It's indefensible what he did. So he can't apologise because it's just, the rule doesn't exist and he made it up. He just made it up because he can.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, such is history, I guess. But
I guess you
had a pretty good career nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, it was a great Canberra side, no question. It was a great Canberra side, great Balmain side. It was I think there was something like 23 or 24 internationals on the field that day. So that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, looking back, you look at the two teams, it's a very stacked, many, many Kangaroos, and even Gary Freeman played 88, 89.
He played both.
So he played for New Zealand as well. Yeah. So, and then obviously Timmy was coming through.
Timmy as well. They had Kevvy Walters on the bench.
Yeah. So very talented.
In 89. Yeah. Timmy and, we had Andy Courier was there and, Shawnee Edwards and it was a, James Grant on the one wing took an intercept, So it was just remarkable the amount of players and talent that was all gathered for that such a great, great, great game.
Yeah.
Just the wrong result.
like I said, my family, it's just we're still in mourning and it's 2019, 30 year anniversary. I'm sure it's a 30 year anniversary this year, so I'm sure you're gonna get lots of questions come late September. But hopefully the West Tigers are
I'll sort of finish on this. And this bloke said to me one day, we were just talking, I was having a coffee in King's Cross, just having a coffee one morning there at Tropicana it was, and he came up to me, he said, "G'day Gary," he said, "how you going, blah, blah, I used to go out with Tommy Hafey's daughter." I said, "Did you? Really?" "Yes, yeah." He said, "Yeah, Tommy, it's Swan's coach." He said, he loved you as his player, you're his favourite player." So that's nice to hear. And we just talked about sport and Tommy Hafe. He says, "You know what?" He said, "Sport's not about winning. It's about becoming a better human being." And I said, "Mate, you're spot on right there. It's not about winning. It's about becoming a better human being."
Yeah.
And that's the sort of, you go, wow, he's 100% right. Because, not everyone gets to a grand final. Not everyone's going to win all the time. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But it's about you becoming a better person.
Yeah. And there were some great human beings in those Balmain sides back in the day, that's for
sure.
Yes,
there were some great human beings. So winning is not the most important thing.
Yeah.
There are more important things than just winning. So, I think that's pretty true.
Awesome. Thanks again, Gary. I really appreciate this call. I'll good luck with all the TAB Stuff, if you ever need someone in the digital department, yeah, let me know. I'll send in my resume.
Yeah, just download the app, mate. That's all you
got
to do.
I got the app. Of course I do, yeah.
Have you?
Yep.
Fantastic.
My late grandfather, speaking of the TAB app, sorry, I've got to add this story. He passed away 2 weeks ago, and he was a big Tigers fan.
Very sorry to hear that, mate.
Yeah, and even on his deathbed, he wanted his TAB app. He went off at my grandmother for not bringing in the TAB. His iPad. So he at 79 years old, he had his TAB app and... could work and watch his races and he passed away a couple of weeks on me, so yeah.
Did you say he's 79?
Yeah, he's gonna turn 80 next week. He was at the 69 grand final. Both my grandfathers were at the 69 grand final. They didn't know each other, but they happened to be there that day and he passed away a couple of weeks ago and he was gave him my first Tigers flag and looking back at videos.
Grandfathers are very special. Yep, they're very special grandfathers. Yeah.
So when like you said, football is family. When I watch Tigers games, because I have that family connection, I guess football feels like family to me because it's one of the things we bond over is the Tigers.
Yeah. Well, there's an 88 grand final like up in the behind the players box there. They pan up to the crowd just at the start, and in the 88 grand final, I can pan up. And I can see my mother and my father and my wife all sitting together behind the players' box.
Yeah, nice.
And my parents have both passed away now.
Mm.
I've obviously been married. Donna and myself had just been married for a couple of years then. So I can see them at the 88 grand. So it's lots of good memories come back when you look there with family and that sort of at the footy games. And that's what it does. It just brings back memories of just being with people. Family together, mateship, just at Leichhardt Oval or different parts of Leichhardt Oval. Just people, just connect. Just connect.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. You can't explain it to someone who doesn't know.
It's a funny thing. And that's why the Tigers have always been so strong because they've always been a very close club.
Mm. It's almost like a family. So
It is almost like a religion. Mm. Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. Except you can talk about it.
There's no things hidden, secret. Everything's out in the open.
All right, mate. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, John. You too. It's been an honour, Gary. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. Please subscribe on your respective podcast outlets that you are listening on now. Give us a friendly review if you have time, and also give us a follow at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to support the show and join our Discord with all the guys in there, support us at patreon.com/Westlife. See you guys soon.